the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. During his debate with Vice President Harris, former President Trump repeated already debunked claims about Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
On support for Ukraine, the vice president said Trump's admiration for Putin is a threat.
If Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now.
Post-debate, Trump claimed Harris lost and would not commit to a second debate. Harris picked up the endorsement of pop megastar Taylor Swift. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and British Foreign Minister David Lammy arrived in Kyiv. Ukraine is pressing its Western allies to allow it to use long-range missiles against targets deeper inside Russia. Earlier, Blinken accused Iran of providing missiles with short-range missiles. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court rules the boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls more than 2 years ago will be tried as an adult. James Kelly reports.
The decision was originally made by a Chippewa County judge, and a three-judge panel in the Court of Appeals ruled to uphold that decision due to the seriousness of the offense. Their ruling states that the defense failed to show that a reversal waiver would not depreciate the seriousness of the offenses. The now 16-year-old suspect is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and sexual assault.
I'm James Kelly.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering a request to open guardianship records for some voters. A conservative activist is trying to find ineligible voters and cast doubt on the 2020 election. Justices heard arguments in the case on Tuesday. The court's not expected to issue a ruling before the November election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your players' strengths, so it's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, how you vote in November could determine whether China starts paring back its carbon emissions or feels it has a blank check to pollute all it wants.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be sunny and warm and not really all that humid here for much of the upcoming week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. Because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, the aftermath of the most important debate of your lifetime. Special guest host Matt Rothschild will help us break it down and figure out what it all means.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, the mercury just keeps climbing around the state of Wisconsin. Morning, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, today it looks like we're going to easily touch out in the mid-80s from La Crosse right through to central Wisconsin and along the lakeshore. Now, in that Milwaukee area, you've got maybe just a sliver of a chance of seeing some spotty showers this morning, but nothing major. Otherwise, a sunny day on the way. That sunshine will persevere again tomorrow. We'll see temperatures again back in the mid-80s before we get a little bit of a break on Friday. Still sunny, but temperatures only in the low 80s. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, is along in about 15 minutes or so. He's got all the weather details you're looking for. Charity Seebecker is joining us this morning. We have found a way to use a byproduct from the cheese industry. And as you might expect in Wisconsin, we've figured out a way to infuse it into spirits. Turned into a nice cottage industry for one farm family. Going to find out about that. A new director has been named to the National Farm Medicine Center up in Marshfield. Tell you about Andrea Swenson this morning. And I'm catching up with our friends from the Steffes Group. Busy, busy time for a lot of folks that are looking at auctions. Stick around.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Back to school. Whether you're jumping on a yellow school bus or put that backpack on headed to campus, Bavaria Sausage is thinking about you. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, want to keep it simple? Do all your shopping online. BavariaSausage.com. There's a brand new website in development, so check back often and see what they've got. I know what they've got right now. Some really healthy snacks that can be included in those lunch boxes or tucked into that backpack for studying enjoyment. Those lawn joggers. New flavors available all the time. And listen, if you're one of the folks dropping the kids off, you want to make life a little simpler, one brand new product that's available at the Fitchburg location, some pre-cut chicken breasts. It's all about an evolving menu that they're working on at Bavaria Sausage. So like I said, check back often. At the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, if you're in the area, or online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BavariaSausage.com. Tell them the Farm Babe sent ya.
The effort to reform the outdated milk pricing model has been going on for a few years, and now deadlines are approaching that signal we're making progress. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Chuck Nicholson joins us in studio to talk about where we stand on the timeline for the federal milk marketing order reform process. Chuck is an associate professor and dairy economist at UW-Madison. He reminds dairy producers there's a deadline coming up soon to make sure your voice is heard.
Well, we're in a good place in terms of getting to the end game on this. As you know, this has been a long process, as these administrative processes kind of tend to be. But we're going to have an important deadline coming up at the end of this week, the 13th of September, and that's when comments from the public and from major dairy organizations are due to USDA for them to consider about whether any additional modifications might be made to this thing that came out on the 1st of July, this recommended decision, which was basically a statement of, here's what we're thinking we're going to do about milk pricing.
And let's talk about that came out early July. Some quick bullets that matter to Wisconsin dairy farmers from that first proposal from USDA after they had their, you know, hearing process and took in all this information.
I think the two key things that are going to be of interest to dairy farmers are, there was a change proposed to this thing we call the make allowances, which are a way of trying to account for the cost of transforming farm milk into products. And the basic way that works is that the make allowance is subtracted from a product price, And that ultimately ends up as a component value in a producer milk check. So if you increase those make allowance values, other things kind of being equal, you're going to end up with lower component values and therefore a lower class price, a lower minimum price that we paid for milk, say, used in cheese like class three. The other major change, though, is kind of offsetting to that, which is we have these things called class one differentials, which are basically an additional amount that a processor pays for milk that's going to be used in a beverage product, so the milk you buy at the grocery store. And USDA, in the recommended decision, proposed basically increasing those class one differentials across the board throughout the United States. But those things are specified like county by county. It's really complicated. And so there are some differences across the U.S. in how much those would go up. Here in Wisconsin, the average increase would be about $1.20 for 100 weight. So there's kind of these two major offsetting proposed changes. One is going to not look so good on a producer milk check, and the other, particularly in areas of the U.S. that have more class one or fluid beverage milk, that's going to be a more positive storyline.
Okay. Here in Wisconsin, we are a class three state. Our milk goes to make cheese. So what is, from your perspective, what has been the overall sentiment on the proposed federal milk marketing order from the USDA that folks are commenting on now?
I think there is general broad approval across the dairy industry community in the U.S. as a whole. A number of the changes that USDA recommended were things that kind of aligned both dairy producers, organizations, and dairy processors. Here in the upper Midwest, I think there's maybe a little bit more of a concern that these changes will not directly benefit dairy farmers. I think there's still a recognition on the part of the co-ops in this region that federal milk marketing orders provide some useful services in addition to pricing milk. I think we're likely to see that even here and in a place like California, which is also kind of a major manufacturing area, we're likely to see the retention of the federal order system.
The comment period on that ends Friday. Chuck, can you give us advice on what or how should producers submit their comments?
What I can say is USDA went through this really lengthy and probably kind of painful for everybody hearing process that took place from August to, last year to January of this year. And so it's fine for people to say I do or don't like something, but I think the kinds of arguments that would have more impact on what USDA might do for a final decision are things that are going to point out where there could be a potential issue with the specifics of the recommended decision. As an example, I've had conversations with some dairy processing organizations where they have been a little bit concerned about the specific values of those things I was calling the class one differentials in their area and how that might be disruptive to the market. They're going to want to try and provide some evidence to USDA that says, you know, you might rethink that a little bit because we have this additional information. So, again, it's fine for folks to comment in whatever form they think is appropriate. And that can be saying, I like it, I don't like it, or why didn't you do this? But the things that will be kind of most compelling for USDA in this process to move to the final decision are things that are going to provide them with some additional insights about how a proposed change by an organization is going to help USDA fulfill its mission for these federal milk marketing orders.
After the comment period closes, then what? How long will the USDA sit on those comments? What can we look for next?
Once you get to this point, there's like this pretty strict schedule and deadlines. And so by the middle of November, USDA will be required to release its final decision. And that decision is going to say, hey, thanks a lot for the comments that you provided us. Here's what we decided to do with them. Again, I think the professional judgment of a lot of us is that USDA might make a few tweaks, but they're probably not going to completely throw everything out and start over. And so once they announce that final decision, they're also going to talk about the process by which dairy producers or cooperative organizations will get to vote, the thing called a referendum. And I think it's really important for folks to keep in mind that this isn't a referendum between can I keep what I have now or can I take the new thing? It's actually, do I want the new thing or do I want nothing, like no regulation at all? That's kind of the important thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about this producer vote.
You'll cover this, I assume, during a workshop that you're helping put on with professional dairy producers on September 18th. Can you outline what you'll be talking about there?
So this workshop is designed to provide an opportunity for both our university partners, folks at Cornell and folks at UW-Madison, to present some information, what is being proposed, what are the likely impacts, particularly on milk prices. And then we've got an excellent industry panel of both producer and processor organizations that are going to provide comment and additional perspective on that. And the topics that we're going to cover are some of the things we've already talked about a little bit here. What is this thing about changes in make allowances? What about changes in this pricing of Class 1 milk? Think a little bit about the implications of what if we didn't have a federal milk marketing order, particularly here in the upper Midwest? What would be the kinds of outcomes we might expect from that? And we'll discuss some of the other issues and the timeline going forward, a little bit like we've talked about for the voting as a part of the producer referendum.
I don't want you to give away everything that you'll be covering on your September 18th workshop, but I do have two follow-ups on the vote. Who can vote in that final decision?
So USDA has a set of rules that they use, and they're going to announce very specifically the conditions, and those can vary a little bit by the different federal milk marketing order areas. We have 11 of them in the United States. They're going to say producers whose milk was pooled during this particular month under this order are eligible to vote. And they also do something that allows for cooperative block voting. That is, cooperatives can vote on behalf of all of their members. So USDA is going to say, here's how the referendum process is going to take place. Here's kind of the dates and everything. And the rules will be specified at that time. So this vote takes place on an order-by-order basis. So each order, the producers in each order will make a decision about whether to keep that order. The places where the vote might be a little bit more questionable are places where USDA has identified that the changes are likely to lower average milk prices over time. And those are basically here in the upper Midwest, unfortunately, out in California and in the Pacific Northwest, all regions of the country that have a really substantial amount of manufacturing milk.
Are prices also projected to be lower without a federal milk marketing order?
That would vary a little bit about where you are in the country. This is a little spoiler alert on some stuff we'll talk about at the September 18th workshop. But when we look at the difference between with and without a federal order here in the upper Midwest, we're not talking about dollars, really talking about 5 to 10 cents per hundredweight, and that will vary a little bit over time. So despite the fact that we'd see lower Class 3 milk prices kind of over the coming years based on this decision, there's still a higher milk price that we would project with an order in place than without it.
UW-Madison dairy economist Chuck Nicholson joining us. The deadline to comment on USDA's milk marketing order proposal is Friday. He also invites you to a federal milk marketing order workshop on September 18th. This is happening both in person in Madison and virtually. They'll feature local and national experts to help producers understand the ins and outs of the milk pricing reform. You can find those event details at pdpw.org. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks at 11:33. Send in your health-related questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A little bit yesterday, and it seems you look up toward the hill, and it's not just a little stress in some areas. Those beans are starting to turn. At bottom, several layers of corn leaves are drying. The cobs are starting to tilt out here and there. We are getting into that time. I mean, we're heading on the middle of September. Things are starting to look a little bit more like harvest time. Another beautiful day to think about it today. After all, we expect sunshine, really great temperatures, well above normal. Oh, there are a few sprinkles. A weak cold front still way to the west, northwest Minnesota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho. They may have some snow way up in the Rockies later on today and tomorrow. Tropical storm or Hurricane Francine down in the Gulf of Mexico going to try to push some moisture north as well. Just a few sprinkles this morning. Far northeast Wisconsin, down the western side of Lake Winnebago, you'll get a few sprinkles. I see 0.04 of an inch of rain yesterday, both at Eau Claire and Wausau. Nothing much else to report for rain, so very light and scattered. And some of the activity will end in eastern Wisconsin yet this morning. And then we head back to some sunshine. More sunshine and well above normal temperatures for Thursday. We cool a little for Friday, and unfortunately, by the weekend, I think with some of that moisture from Francine pushing north and a weak cool front, we may have a little hit-or-miss shower chance developing later Saturday, taking us toward early Monday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Stu, let's take a look at the weather. What's the forecast looking like for today and the rest of the week?
All right, Ben, that Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast is for those sprinkles in northeast and eastern Wisconsin to end pretty quickly, and then mostly sunny skies all across the state. A lot of us pushing toward the mid-80s, 84 to 86, warmest in the west with the south winds 5 to 10. Overnight, call it partly cloudy, not a big deal. Nighttime lows holding very comfortable. In fact, I expect to see some upper 50s yet tonight, maybe near 60 degrees with the south winds about 5. Mostly sunny come Thursday, another very fine day in the mid-80s, a little cooler in the west already, southeast winds at 5 to 10, partly sunny Friday and down toward the low 80s, maybe an upper 70 in the northwest, east winds 5 to 10, and Ben, unfortunately, that small chance of a little hit-or-miss rain tries to edge in during the weekend.
Yeah, thank you very much for this update, and that's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compeer.com. And the weather's looking beautiful today. If you want to go outside and maybe go for the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarboe.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah,
inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. During his debate with Vice President Harris, former President Trump repeated already debunked claims about Haitian migrants in Springfield, Ohio.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
On support for Ukraine, the vice president said Trump's admiration for Putin is a threat.
If Donald Trump were president, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv right now.
Post-debate, Trump claimed Harris lost and would not commit to a second debate. Harris picked up the endorsement of pop megastar Taylor Swift. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and British Foreign Minister David Lammy arrived in Kyiv. Ukraine is pressing its Western allies to allow it to use long-range missiles against targets deeper inside Russia. Earlier, Blinken accused Iran of providing missiles with short-range missiles. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An appeals court rules the boy accused of killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in Chippewa Falls more than 2 years ago will be tried as an adult. James Kelly reports.
The decision was originally made by a Chippewa County judge, and a three-judge panel in the Court of Appeals ruled to uphold that decision due to the seriousness of the offense. Their ruling states that the defense failed to show that a reversal waiver would not depreciate the seriousness of the offenses. The now 16-year-old suspect is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and sexual assault. I'm James Kelly.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering a request to open guardianship records for some voters. A conservative activist is trying to find ineligible voters and cast doubt on the 2020 election. Justices heard arguments in the case on Tuesday. The court's not expected to issue a ruling before the November election. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start their road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your players' strengths, so it's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'll talk about the phenomenon of post-summer gelato. And I welcome the band Cat and the Hurricane, who will tell us all about their Midwestern tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be sunny and warm and not really all that humid here for much of the upcoming week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick money-saving tip on some car maintenance that almost anybody can do. When I take my car in for routine service, they want to charge me for changing my car's cabin air filter. It costs maybe $50 plus parts, sometimes even more. But this one is pretty easy to do yourself in most cases. Just search YouTube for the make and model of your car and the words cabin air filter. There's videos that'll walk you through changing it. In a lot of cars, the cabin air filter is behind the glove box, so you don't even have to go under the hood. It takes no tools and 5 minutes to change it, even if you go slow. They cost about $30 or less on Amazon or at some local auto parts store. I think it's worth a shot to save $50 or more. And look, if everything goes sideways somehow, this won't hurt or stop your car from running if you have to go for help. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican Sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Along the way, I think he might have got them 2 wins. I think they were 2-4-1 in that stretch. That
now, here's a Wisconsin story for you on a Wednesday. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. So we're proud of our dairy industry in Wisconsin, right? We love our award-winning, world-class cheeses. But what you may not realize, there are some byproducts, some leftover ingredients from the cheesemaking process that we haven't been able to figure out how to use them, quite honestly. Well, Charity Seebecker is going to introduce us to an entrepreneur that decided to take those leftover milk sugars, a byproduct of the cheese industry, and infuse it into spirits. They have found people very, very receptive at Knowlton House Distillery. Heather Mullins is going to share the story with Charity Seebecker. That's one of those real Wisconsin stories on the way. Like I said, today is September 11th. I'm not going to dwell on it because I'm sure many, many people will be talking about it all day long. This is the anniversary of the attack on the United States on this day back in 2001. The September 11th attacks occurred, of course, in New York City, also the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and, of course, the aborted attempt in Pennsylvania. That occurred on this day back in 2001. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember what you were doing or how you got the news? Again, September 11th anniversary as of today. It occurred on this day back in 2001. On this day, 1903, auto racing debuted at the Milwaukee Mile. William Jones from Chicago won a 5-lap speed contest, and he set the first track record. You want to guess how fast he went? 72 seconds around the track. That's about 50 miles per hour. And that was the record at the Milwaukee Mile. I don't know if you realized it, but the Milwaukee Mile was originally a private horse track that had been in existence since at least 1876. Milwaukee Mile back in action today, 2024, all those years later. And happy birthday today to singer, songwriter, and sometimes actor Harry Connick Jr. He is 57 years young. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with my friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com. Their brand new revamped website waiting for your attention. And if you're about ready to maybe talk about an auction of your own, or maybe you've got questions about that website or something that you'd like personal conversation, they're happy to do that. The toll-free number to the Steffes crew, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. As I was talking with Ashley, I said, you know, this week is one of those weeks where you don't see a lot of it in September where temperatures are back in the upper 80s, but I think everybody will be happy. That'll help finish off the corn and beans for sure, Ashley. We haven't really gotten a full head of steam going on the harvest. That must mean guys are still looking for pieces they might need during the harvest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this week and next week are going to be loaded with auctions. Matter of fact, on Thursday here, we've got a nice farm retirement with a couple of quad tracks on it. Both are 540s with low hours on it, 2019 models. And, you know, we always talk about stuff we don't get to sell too often. Les is retiring, and he's got a Gleaner combine, an S98 with only 500 hours on it. Of course, heads to go with it, Draper head as well. But something you don't get to sell very often are them late model Gleaner combines.
You know, and I also want to remind folks, if you're not familiar with the Steffes Group and how they do business, so let's say that that Gleaner really appeals to you. It really could become a part of your fleet, or the quad tracks. Yeah, you're saying, geez, we're going to need those pretty quick here. You guys are always real quick to step in and help make sure that that final transaction is not only complete, but you help them get that piece of equipment quickly to where they want it. Right, Ashley?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the stuff that's selling here in the next 2 weeks, you get to use it the next week. So we'll help you with trucking. We know a lot of guys in the industry that that help us all quite a bit. Get that on your farm, get it ready to go, and knowing where it came from and the quality that it is, just put fuel in it and go.
Yeah, and like we said, don't ever think that the folks from the Steffes Group are going to get in between you and the current owner of that equipment. You got questions about ours, how it was used, anything like that, they will be happy to facilitate a direct conversation with the owners of that equipment so that you have confidence when you make that bid. And we got to remind people, if the current listing of auctions on the website doesn't necessarily strike a note with them, Ashley, that catalog is out that they can, literally, it's like the old Sears and Roebuck. If there's a wish you've got, that will pop up in that catalog, I'm sure, somewhere.
Yeah, right now we're working off the fall catalog, and believe it or not, come in another month or so, we'll be rounding up the last of our consignments for the winter catalog, because I can tell you, November, December are always our busiest month, and this year's going to be no different, of course.
Absolutely. Now, remember, folks, you need to give yourself time if you would like to be a part of the auction lineup for the Steffes Group. So the best thing you can do, if you're considering it, maybe you've got questions. Obviously, this is, for many folks, a once-in-a-lifetime situation. Then you need to pick up the phone and give them a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Or if you'd like to see the current catalog or the list of pending auctions, the best place to go, that very self-serving website that's going to get you everything you need all in one spot, that's steffesgroup.com, steffesgroup.com. Ashley Yoon along with us from the Steffes Group.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
There is a new leader at the National Children's Center up in Marshfield. Andrea Swenson has been named the new director of the National Children's Center, which is a part of the program for the National Farm Medicine Center. It's also part of the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute. Basically, they're coming up on their 30th anniversary, and Andrea is going to continue to take a look at how things are changing in agriculture, changing in rural communities, and making sure that they're coming up with new protocols on safe operation. She's taking over for the very well-respected and recognized Barb Lee, who had been the director of the National Children's Center since its inception for some 27 years. Now, Andrea Swenson, the new director. Congratulations. Well, markets in overnight electronic trade, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far this morning. We're holding in the black ink, green on my screen, if you will. Right now, December corn's up 2 cents at 4.06. November soybeans up a dime at 10.07. December wheat, that's currently 4 cents stronger at 5.78. Dairy had a very good day yesterday. Barrel cheese was up 5.5 at 2.34. 40-pound block cheese up 3.5 at 2.30.5. But the AA butter, that slipped just a little bit yesterday, down a penny and a half to 3.17.5 per pound. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning is currently trading up 8 cents at $24 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk, that's up 18 right now at $23.61 a hundredweight. Another congratulations this morning to Julie Klitsky. She has been named the new Chief Administrative Officer for the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association, effective immediately. She's been a big part of the team since 2018. She's got great leadership skills, dedication, and expertise in the area. Kurt Larson, President and CEO of Equity, says in her new role, she's going to bring a lot of experience and skills to help them become even more operationally efficient at the Equity Livestock Sales Association office in Baraboo. Congratulations to Julie Klitsky. Up next, a story that seems so very Wisconsin, right? We're proud of our dairy heritage, but with all that cheese we make, there are some byproducts that we haven't been able to figure out necessarily how to use them. Instead of just disposing of them, one entrepreneur in Wisconsin decided, hey, how about we try to infuse it with spirits? And that is how Knowlton House Distillery got started. Charity Seebecker is going to step in next with Heather Mullins, who is one of the proprietors of Knowlton House Distillery, and explain what was a cast-off item from the cheese industry before has turned into a pretty nice little enterprise for Knowlton House Distillery. That's one of the stories on the way right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After ordering controversial searches of homes of Latinx democracy advocates in August, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sued two counties in early September for attempting to register citizens to vote prior to the 2024 election. The Texas Tribune reports that last week, AG Paxton sued two liberal-leaning Texas counties encompassing the cities of Austin and San Antonio for a proposed mailing of voter registration forms to unregistered voters. Bexar and Travis County commissioners voted to approve the distribution despite threats by Paxton. Paxton said in a statement, quote, "It is unlawful and reckless for counties to use taxpayer dollars to indiscriminately send voter registration forms with no consideration of the recipient's eligibility or without statutory authority to do so," unquote. Texas law does not expressly prohibit distribution of voter registration forms, only applications for voting by mail. A Texas driver's license or other approved identification is required when registering, and a voter registration certificate or approved ID when voting. A Travis County spokesperson told the Texas Tribune, "It is disappointing that any statewide elected official would prefer to sow distrust and discourage participation in the electoral process." We've linked to the Texas Tribune's great reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. It's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a very special edition of the show next time, live from Waukesha, Wisconsin, for the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, players, filmmakers, and more in your calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Story with the help of Charity Seebecker. We're proud of our dairy heritage, and we've got a history when it comes to spirits in the state. And now the two have become one. Charity, tell us a little bit more about this unique partnership formed right here in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's rich dairy history is finding new life in a unique and flavorful way. This is thanks to a local distillery that is incorporating milk sugar, a byproduct of cheese production, into their spirits. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and founder and head distiller of Knowlton House Distillery, Heather Mullins, shares more about this process.
Milk sugar starts with the dairy farmers and the cheesemakers. So at the family cheese factory down the street, they start with the milk coming in, obviously. And then when they make the cheese, what's left behind on the wayside of it is actually obviously contains cream, it contains protein, and it also contains milk sugar. So lactose is the type of sugar we're talking about that's in any milk products. So that lactose is what comes down the street to me, and we're using that milk sugar in our process. As far as where it's used in the process and how it's incorporated into our distillation, you kind of want to start with an understanding of what distilled spirits are or how they come to be. And there's really two major parts to that. So there's fermentation and then there's distillation. So on the fermentation part, we don't look much different than breweries or winemakers. So distillers first ferment some type of sugar by using yeast to consume that sugar and then create alcohol from it. But unlike the brewers and the winemakers, we take that one more step further to the distillation portion. And that's where we distill the alcohol that's produced to increase its concentration and to purify it. So where we're different from others is that for our 10-head spirits, it really comes down to that source of sugar. So that choice of sugar that they're going to use to have the yeast consume and turn into alcohol. Most vodka and gin distillers are going to extract that sugar from corn or wheat or potatoes. But instead, we use that milk sugar that came straight from the cheese factory in the whey that remains once they're done with the cheese making process.
So what unique qualities does milk sugar bring to your vodka and gin compared to those traditional ingredients then?
Just like when you think about potato vodka, for example, it doesn't taste like potatoes. Our milk sugar vodka doesn't taste like milk either. But that difference in vodkas are typically more nuanced than that. In our case, for example, that milk sugar we find lends to like a silky, almost creamy mouthfeel that you get to the finished product. It's still clear. It's still traditional vodka, but it just has a really lovely underlying mouthfeel that we truly believe comes from that milk sugar.
How did you decide to incorporate milk sugar into your spirits in the first place? I'm sure there was some trial and error or maybe some challenges that you had to face during that development process, right?
Definitely fair. I would say for us, it's really the perfect fit of who we are and really the type of product we're trying to make. So my husband comes from a long line of Wisconsin dairy farmers and cheesemakers, and my background's in fermentation, particularly brewing science is what my master's degree is in. So we are certainly a Wisconsin marriage, and so it just makes sense for us, for our particular skill sets, that we can showcase how those milk sugars could turn into spirits here in the dairy state. You know, that is who we are and where we're from. I had the opportunity to see some milk sugar spirits while I was in grad school at the UK. There are only about a dozen worldwide that are making milk sugar based spirits, and I had some lovely spirits while I was over there and saw that this could be something really beautiful, and it feels like home here. It feels like it belongs in Wisconsin. Why wouldn't we as the dairy state be leading that charge? So from a challenges front, you know, as I mentioned, there are only a dozen distilleries worldwide that are producing milk sugar spirits. So that means there's really no easy playbook that we can work from or supplies that are aimed specifically for what we're doing. I'm really lucky in the sense that the dairy farmers and the cheesemakers, they already did their part to produce that like consistent source of purified milk sugar for me. So that's a huge part of the puzzle for most that was already completed because I'm part of a dairy family and in the dairy state. So for me, the biggest remaining challenge was really about developing our fermentation process. So that starts with selecting the right type of yeast. For typical brewing or distilling yeast, they won't actually eat or consume that milk sugar, that lactose. In fact, if you've ever had a milk stout, for example, brewers will purposely add the milk sugar to their stout when they're brewing it, so they can their yeast will leave that little bit of sweetness behind. It won't actually eat the lactose. In our case, though, we're trying to accomplish the opposite, right? I want the yeast to consume that milk sugar and turn it into alcohol. So that takes a different strain of yeast, a different type of yeast for the job. And that was the key challenge for us in order to get where we are. We started this process more than a decade ago, and it really took me a couple of years of running small-scale fermentation trials in my garage with home brewing equipment to really find what the right strain of yeast was for this job and to optimize how we do our fermentations. Once we had that, we were sure that this could work.
And you kind of touched on this a little bit, but how does using milk sugar affect the flavor profile of your spirits or even just the distilling process? Obviously, that changes using milk sugar versus the more traditional sources like grains or potatoes.
I will say that some people certainly will tell us that we have a faint vanilla note, for example, to our vodka as a positive characteristic. I really feel like that difference comes from that mouthfeel, that texture, that underlying texture that we get from the milk sugars that really sets us apart from the others. Less about specific flavor, since vodka is generally fairly neutral itself. But all those differences that I talked about, you notice I kept coming back to fermentation and yeast. It really happened in that first step, the fermentation step. Once we get to distillation, our distillation process is very traditional. We use a 40-plate tall copper still to ensure we get maximum vodka purity and do really careful, slow distillations on it. But it's really a traditional distillation. It's just about the fermentation piece where things are different, and that's because of that special yeast strain needed to ferment out that milk sugar.
That's Heather Mullins, founder of Knowlton House Distillery, along with us. By blending tradition with creativity, they're crafting more than just exceptional drinks. They're ensuring that every bottle carries the essence of our state's rich dairy legacy. For the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Cover crops and livestock are a winning combination for soil health. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Not all farms are suited to this, but the practice of grazing livestock on cover crops appears to be a good thing in no-till systems. That's according to researchers at Kansas State University. Agronomist Logan Simon.
We actually did see a significant increase in soil organic carbon stocks, as well as soil potassium in our grazed areas compared to our ungrazed areas.
Simon indicated the on-farm study was started in 2018 in central and western Kansas.
During that time frame, there was still a lot of concern that grazing cover crops, especially on our no or conservation till acres, could cause some negative impacts in terms of soil health, that we could lose some of the benefits that we expect from cover crops for soil health, and also some concerns about compaction.
The timing for cover crop planting is important, says Simon.
For folks looking to integrate cover crops and looking to integrate grazing, I would consider good planting windows where you're able to plant that cover crop, get it up, and get some biomass out there to graze on during the time of year that maybe you wouldn't complement your existing forage resources.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, how you vote in November could determine whether China starts paring back its carbon emissions or feels it has a blank check to pollute all it wants.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC.